insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. Welcome again to our program. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ.
For those who haven't been listening for the past few sessions, we've been discussing verse 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, as an address to Bani Israel, reminds them of the commandments that He had given Bani Israel. This is the second time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the pledge that was taken from Bani Israel to practice certain commandments. And as we said, that these commandments are general principles and guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in all religions. So we're going to expand on some of them that it is necessary to explain more and talk about a little more to explain the Islamic concept of that, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started saying, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, and when we took a pledge from the children of Israel, the first commandment was, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, worship no one but Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, do good to parents. وَذِي الْقُرْبَى, relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, orphans. These we explained in previous sessions. We arrived at the word وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the needy. Giving charity and helping with the needy, doing good to the needy, are things that, again, I would like to remind that this is a general principle we see in all divine religions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people that they have got to be kind to, treat well, help and support the needy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the power to make extra money, make extra wealth, have that, and, you know, I am able to do that, whether, you know, my parents, alhamdulillah, had the opportunity and the wealth, or their situation was such that I got the education necessary to be able to have a good job. And some people haven't had that. You know, they are able people. They do have physical ability. However, you know, they lost that opportunity because their parents didn't know. The parents didn't, you know, for whatever reason, they've lost that their opportunity, or they don't have the physical ability at all to work that hard. They don't have the mental capacity to have jobs that could support them in the community. Or sometimes temporarily, we sometimes neglect the fact that some people, you know, they do have the ability, then they are working, but at a certain period in their life, they've lost the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them and testing us as well in that you know, they are not able to make enough money or make money at all and bring in any wealth to support themselves and support their families. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me at this time and during this period to make money, provide for my family, provide for myself, and I am able to give to others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me, thank God. You should thank God by helping the needy. Helping the needy, as this verse says, you know, the sentence started وَبِلْ وَالَدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, being or doing good to the parents, and then this one and to the needy. In other words, do good to the needy. Doing good to the needy has different aspects. That sometimes, again, especially in the Western culture, unfortunately, we see that this Islamic view is lacking. And doing good, the aspects and the perspectives of it are not only wealth. Okay, we see at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people were not treated the same because of them being a lower class in society, the Prophet would get really angry. The Prophet would get really angry with such people that, you know, you probably have heard the story where a more wealthy person came to the masjid and sat down, and you know, a poorer person was with less money or less wealth, that didn't have proper clothing, didn't have the, you know, all the facilities to be able to clean themselves the same way that the richer person did, sat down beside that person. That person just, you know, started to move a little further away and to distance themselves from the poor person, so that the clothes do not touch and hit this poor person. So maybe, you know, think it's filthy or smelly or things like that. Now, this very simple, okay, something that many of us have maybe, and hopefully not, of course, but have experienced in coming in contact with such people, this made the Holy Prophet very angry, and the Holy Prophet addressed the people and said, you know, this is not right. If you have that wealth, just because you have that wealth, you consider yourself better than that person. So I'm saying that doing good to the poor people, the people that have less money or less, you know, sometimes they say less fortunate. Okay, well, it's not really less fortunate in the worldly perspective, because as in this particular example shows us in the story, for those who know it, the fortune is actually with the poor person, because his relation with God is a stronger relation. That's what's important. But anyway, as they say, from a worldly perspective, this individual is less fortunate. Just because of that, I feel that I am superior to such person. This is very bad. And doing good in this way is to treat them normal. When a person walks in, they're not dressed very well, we see that for most of us, we feel a little uncomfortable being around that person. We feel like we don't want them to come and sit beside me. And if they do come and sit beside me, I would make an excuse to get up and leave. This is against the teachings of Islam. Okay, ihsan to masakin, doing good to masakin. One of the aspects that a lot of times we neglect is this. And when we do want to help the masakin, when we do want to help the poor people, we feel, again, we have that feeling of arrogance, and I'm doing you a favor. This is mine, and I'm giving it to you. This is, again, a wrong take on the issue. That's not the way we're supposed to take that. The wealth that is provided for anyone, the raziq, the person who, the individual, or the one who provides this sustenance for me or for anyone else, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at it from that perspective, it starts to have a totally different view in our minds and a totally different perspective. Okay, it opens doors. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides sustenance for every individual. At some point, for some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the ability for them to provide for themselves, okay, by working and doing something that others would feel that they have to pay this person for something that they called this person to do and they wanted this person to do. And, you know, basically they employed that person, so they have to pay him. Sometimes that person loses the ability to receive sustenance like that, all right? He is being tested, and also the others are being tested. The others who are able to receive that sustenance in that way are told by God to give some to this person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sustenance to this person in that way. So the sustenance is God. God is giving the sustenance. He has given me and provided for me. And He says, from what I have provided for you, you've got to give some for the poor people, people that did not have the ability to make such money. All right? This is Allah's property that we're using. I don't have the freedom of doing whatever I wish, and yeah, people are dying on the streets and I don't care, and I can go buy my mansion and go for my vacations to God knows where, to Dubai or wherever, and spend my money on useless things just for luxury and just to feel great about myself and buy, you know, clothing that I could feed 100 people for 100 days. Just, you know, with the cost of one piece of clothing, all right, it's not such that I can use, yes, you can use it, no one's stopping you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold people responsible on the Day of Judgment. That's one aspect of it, if you're looking at it from the pure perspective of, you know, just the responsibility. But the other aspect of it is, these people, you know, if we are like that, if what matters to us is having this wealth and keeping it, and in at least in our own little world and our own little bubble, we think we can keep it in this way. If we're like that, you know what happens? You know, we're not really human beings. If we are, we will be in that case, keeping ourselves to a very, very, very low level of spirituality. And we will keep ourselves attached to the tangible things, the materialistic things that also animals do. You know, animals want their territories saved. You know, they don't want any other animal to get into their territory, to, you know, take their women away from them, whatever, you know, they have. Okay, whatever at their level as animals they can have, all right, they don't want anyone to take that away from them. That's the feeling, that's the only thing that is important for them in their life. If we act like that, then we're not anything more than that. Okay, it's not just about being punished or, you know, held responsible on the Day of Judgment. When we go to, you know, when we are raised again, when on resurrection, one of the names of that day is Yawmul Hasra. Okay, the day that one is going to feel regretful of their past. Okay, at that time, then it doesn't matter how much I had gathered in the world. I don't have access to that money, and no one needs this money anymore. I can't give charity anymore. It's gone. Then I will realize that I could have done so much with this that I didn't do. We look at our role models, okay, the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams, says Imam al-Hassan salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, obviously, the Holy Prophet, whatever they had, okay, the Holy Prophet, during his life, the only wealth that he really had was the wealth of his wife, and his wife, Hadrat Khadija, and the Prophet gave away whatever they had. Also, when the Holy Prophet got money through the battles, through the wars, and, you know, that we know through history, he didn't keep it for himself. No, you know, he didn't need that. It was given to others, it was given to the poor. Also, the Ahlul Bayt, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, Hadrat Fatima, we know that story in Surah Insan or Surah Dahr, that, you know, the Ahlul Bayt gave the little bit of food that they had for iftar, all right? They were fasting for 3 days. They gave away that little bit of food that they had. They didn't have any other food. They gave that away to miskin and to yatim and to asir, to a person that, a poor person that didn't have a place to stay, yatim, an orphan, and also a person that was an asir. He was imprisoned, and then the person was freed. All right, so we don't have to wait until we're so wealthy that we can, you know, live in a mansion, then we start giving charity. No, at any time, with whatever level of wealth we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever I've provided for you, it's good to give charity with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability and also helps us make this decision when we do have that money to actually help out with the poor, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu, subhanaka ya man la sharika.